this will change our very purpose for living, one in which we live to enhance and spread the kingdom of God among unbelievers. Notice how I did not say that it will change your profession. Look at this. I can't change the page now. Okay. Notice how I didn't say it would change your profession. I didn't say that, you know, all of you become missionaries. And so I don't think that's true, that everybody will become missionaries. But I do think that it could change your purpose in life, i.e. why you're alive today. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read, we're going to step through this passage together, and then we'll just make a few applications. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Luke recalls how Jesus was preaching by the Sea of Galilee to a large choir. Notice how people were very happy to hear about Jesus, weren't they? You know, the crowds really came around Jesus. But not everybody was listening to Jesus. There was a difference. What is listening to Jesus? Well, it's something where the words get into your heart and you're forced to move out. It's kind of like we just sang, you know, we must go, we must go. Also, Luke also talked about the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, what is the difference between the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Galilee? The Lake of Gennesaret is a local term. It's what the locals call the Sea of Galilee. You know, if you traveled around the country and you went to, a small place that had a local lake, they may have a different name for it than the name that's listed on the Rand McNally map. So what we see from this is that Luke was very careful to check out his sources. Okay, so Luke was very careful, as he said in the beginning of his gospel, he was carefully reviewing his sources, and he came to his conclusion that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Lord. So that word there, the Lake of Gennesaret, is significant. And Luke records how people were crowding around Jesus. Literally, they were pushing hard on Jesus. If I could have the slideshow, forget about the video. The video is dead. Don't come to my house, I'll show it to you. My TV. Anyway, put the slideshow on, and it was like the third picture. Think about the people. If you've been to Macau recently, or within the last 5 years, who has been to Macau over the last 5 years? Okay, there's a few people there. Our old teammates, it's great to see them. So, if you go through the border now between Macau and China, if you went through that border, you would see an incredible, there's a picture of it, massive humanity. Actually, there's 50 to 60,000 people a day that go between Macau and China. They come over to work, they come over to play, they come over to eat. You know, it's amazingly crowded. Or who is here has been to a baseball game before? Any baseball game. Okay, so the crowds at the end of the baseball game, when you're leaving Shea Stadium, the crowds are a little smaller than Yankee Stadium. But if you're leaving one of the stadiums and you're with the crowds, throngs of people, and they're pressing upon you, that was the picture of what Jesus had around him at that point. And Luke here records how Peter called Jesus master as we read on. Let's read verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master." So Simon Peter probably knew Jesus before. Maybe this wasn't the first time that he had, you know, come face to face with Jesus. He continues, "We worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." This idea of working hard all night, the original language is the idea that Peter was exhausted. Can you imagine working hard all night? You know, these guys didn't sit there with little fishing pole, whoa, you know, and listen to a radio in the background. These guys were throwing nets out, bringing the nets in, throwing nets out, bringing the nets in, and they caught drake. They caught nothing all night. They caught zero, zilch. And he's exhausted. And here comes this carpenter who's telling him how to fish. Now, how would you feel if you were Peter? Peter was exhausted. But because Jesus' word, he followed what Jesus had to say. Look at verse 6 with me. When they had let down, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boats, and they came and helped them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So this was not the time to catch fish. You know, I know one thing for sure. When you went to catch fish, usually you left early in the morning. You know, it's just really the time. By midday, there's usually no fish around, and you don't catch fish. The fish by that time have had their full of people's bait, and are hanging out listening to music or something in the middle of the ocean. You know, it's really not the time to catch fish. In some ways, it's not the place to catch fish. And yet Jesus did this miracle. He did this way before these Japanese scientists taught fish to come back and jump in the net. He did this miracle. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Three and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats upon shore, left everything, and followed him. Simon made some correct conclusions from this miracle, didn't he? You know, Simon began calling Jesus at that point what? He called him Lord. He called him a word that was only reserved for the God of Israel, Yahweh, ego of me, I am. He called him Lord. And he worshipped Jesus' great mastery of nature. Only God can do this. Bring all the fish and jump on the net, besides what these Japanese scientists may or may not do. The contrast here astonished them. They had worked hard all night, and they caught nothing. Jesus, a non-fisherman, a carpenter called, you know, told them to go out to a different place, throw their nets out, and they brought this catch of fish that was so great, it must have amazed them. It did amaze them, astonished them. What amazed me even deeper, men and women, was that Peter didn't say this to Jesus. "Oh, right now it's 12:30, 1 o'clock. Why don't you come back tomorrow, Lord? And we could do this every day." You know, because they had worked hard all night, they caught nothing. Jesus comes on the scene, he blesses their catch. But Peter did not do that, did he? men and women. Peter did what? He left behind his livelihood and followed Jesus. He left behind everything that would earn him a living and just follow Jesus. He was something so great, so amazing, they left it all behind, all of his worldly cares, and followed and left Jesus. Well, I only have one application. And that application is to put out into the deep for real catch. That was our yearly theme, wasn't it? In 05 or 04? Something like that. Put out into the deep for a real catch. Why are we so crazily asking Jesus to bless our catch? You know, whether it be schoolwork, whether it be a job or career or plans or whatever, we ask Jesus to bless us, you know, to multiply our fish, to give us an abundance, to fit into our purpose for life, when God Himself is giving us a new purpose for life. Notice how we didn't say a new career or a new job. He may in fact do that, but He's giving us a new purpose. The purpose is to be involved in catching men and women for the kingdom of God. Probably really don't want to fish for Jesus. You know, if push comes to shove, what we really want in our life is Jesus to make our life a little easier. You know, eliminate our bad habits, correct our problems, you know, help us to get along with our, you fill in the blank, our roommate, our spouse, or whatever, and make our life a little easier here. And then at the end, we all want eternal life. But that's basically it. We don't really want Jesus to change our life purpose. You know, our life purpose is basically what? It's basically to make ourselves happy. Isn't that true? It's to make ourselves happy. And we catch this life purpose from growing up. Isn't that true? You know, when we're a little kid, we're a little tyke, we see our father or mother go out to work, or both of them go out to work, and we go off to school, things like that. We think our life purpose is work, eat, maybe it's to marry and procreate, raise children, maybe even raise a dog, I don't know. It's something like that. And then we become Christians, and we add into our life purpose, well, you know, we become Christians, so a life purpose now includes going to church and doing nice things for people. Isn't that true? You know, sing a nice word here and there. But life purpose is really directed by us, isn't it? You know, basically we don't want to fish with Jesus. We don't want to get in on what He's doing. We want Him to bless our life. Bless what we're doing, Lord. And basically, we miss out on what God's purpose is for our life. Being a part of a short-term ministry team, how many years have been on a short-term ministry? Whether it's not necessarily Macau, any place in the world. Raise your hand. Okay, that's a lot of you. Yeah, there's another short-term ministry coming up to Suriname this summer. I really encourage you to be a part of that as well. Being a part of a short-term ministry team gives us a taste of what life would be like if our purpose was to introduce men and women to God, to bring the life in Jesus Christ. And for 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or a month, or a year, or however long you go, you're involved in that. And really, it's probably very moving in your heart. And you may come back thinking, boy, I would love to do this forever. That's what I did when I was on a short-term ministry in 1986. I came back thinking, boy, I'd love to do this forever. And God, you know, enabled me to do it for the last 20 years or so, 22 years. See, but our purpose is not necessarily a career or a job. That may be separate, but our purpose may be even deeper than a career and a job. It's our purpose to bring men and women alive in Jesus Christ, to bring men alive in God, to help them to know the kingdom of God. That's really our purpose for life. And whether it's part of service, or, you know, you may not be called into Christian, full-time Christian work, and that's unfortunate, but some of you won't be called. And if it's purpose, or, I mean, if it's service, if it's staying here and being involved in church, then our purpose is to help people to come alive in God, to come alive in Jesus Christ. There are different places in the world where the fishing is better. It's just a common thing. If you've gone fishing, you know the fishing is better in certain places. The fishing is really good offshore in New Jersey for bluefish, or in the Shark River for a striped bass. The fishing for people, or catching people, is really good in Asia. It's excellent. It's excellent in Asia, really. People are coming to know Jesus in record numbers in Asia, in Africa, in South America. It may have slowed down here in America. This is a tough place to fish, really. You have to find the right bait, the right jigs or something. But Macau in China is a great place for fishing. It really is. It's an exciting place for fishing because it's plentiful. And we go, just ask Kurt and Melissa, you know, or and even Ming, who saw three people come to Christ in the 2 weeks that we were there. The fish are literally, or the people literally, jumping into the net. They're coming to faith in Christ in record numbers there. The harvest is plentiful. But those that are able to lead people to faith in Jesus are the few. I believe that when Jesus made this call, when Jesus called people to be fishers and men, he did not necessarily have in mind full-time missionaries. Only in mind, full-time missionaries. I think he had those in mind. But I also think he had all of us who know God. You see, if our purpose in life is to be God's vessel, our purpose every day, our prayer is, God, I want to follow Jesus and be one who leads others into your kingdom. Teach me what my role is and what I can do to catch people into your kingdom. If that's our prayer every day, if that's our prayer of our heart every day, guaranteed that we will know fish. We will get to know people who are, I would just say, they're more interested in knowing God. We will move people maybe from -3 to 0. Or we'll move people from 0 to 8 or something, or scale 1 to 10. Or 10 as they come to faith in God. But really, the prayer of our heart has got to be, God, give me your purpose. Give me your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great purpose of bringing men and women alive in Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of our life. God, we desire that everything we say, everything that we do, would bring people alive in God, or bring people alive in Jesus Christ. For his glory, for his sake, we pray. Amen.